us and physically as well. Thank you, Lord. All this we pray in Christ's most precious name. Amen. Let's remain standing as we read the scripture for today, which is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. This is the word of God. Please be seated. We want to welcome Pastor Alan for today's message.
Thank you. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that God exists? Amen. Only so few. Yeah. How do you know God exists? Amen. How do you know? Have you ever thought of such questions? How do you know that God exists? Any answers? How do I know that God exists, that I must worship Him? Come on. It's not a trick question, yeah?
By faith.
By faith? Yes, by faith. But, yeah, that's what we are going to into. Right? Because the Bible says it's the Word of God that gives us faith. Every morning as I wake up, I'm able to breathe the very breath that you has come, that you have come from God. Right? So I know He exists. I look at the orderliness of the universe. I know God exists. Right? I look at my own body, you know, the perfect body that God has given us, you know, eyes and all, and the digestive system, how terrible it is if you have your mouth here, yeah, and your eyes at the back. No, it's a perfect creation. That I know that God exists, and it requires faith from us to know that God exists. Everything that we have today is by faith. And I thank God that for all of you here who are learning, and I pray that your faith will grow, right, from strength to strength, right, from faith to faith. Amen. Last week, thank God that I have the opportunity to take a break from the normal work, to have a week of holiday in Wuhan, the place where the virus, they say it started. I don't know whether it's true, all right? And Wuhan, then after that, we travel up to Hunan, and then Hubei, and then we reach this place called 张家界,有去过吗? 没去过? 没有,很好,很美丽的地方. It's beautiful, the place, okay? And then we visited some of the minority groups, the tribes there. This tribe is called Tu Zhu, right? Tu Zhu. And this is very special, this Tu Zhu, you know, whereby women power, women have a higher position than men, yeah? And the woman in the Tu Zhu can at the same time have three husbands. Wow. Isabel, 要搬过去吗? They have three husbands at the same time. And because of the position of this woman is higher than man, you know what happened is that most of the housework are done by men, 老公. Yeah. Done by men. So in order to encourage the men a bit, so they came out with a very funny proverb. 就是这样, this is 恭喜发财. That means, notice it's 恭喜. You know, that means if you wash the plates and wash the bowl, then the promise is that you're 发财. Yeah? JK, 有没有做 housework? Yeah, very good. Where's Mark? Do, Yeah. Then you'll be 发财, okay? So it's interesting. So that's one of the places that we went. But also the other place that we went is the very famous 玻璃桥, the bridge. The bridge is about 300 meters above ground, 400 over meter long. Yeah, you see, and some, yeah. So it takes a bit of courage, It takes a bit of faith for you to walk across the bridge. Yeah. So the faith that we must have as we cross the bridge is that I must trust the engineers who built the bridge that it will not collapse as we go through. At any time, it can accommodate 800 people, the bridge. Yeah. And with faith, we walk across the bridge. I think it helps that it was quite foggy that day, so we cannot really see downstairs. You know. So, but if you can trust the engineering work of man, how much more can you trust the Word of God? How much more can you trust the one who created you and created the universe? Nothing is impossible for Him. Yeah. So we have. So today, as we talk about overcoming faith, you know, many of us have a vague idea about what faith is, but we do not really have a grasp of how do I have overcoming faith? What are the foundations for me to have overcoming faith? So today we are going to talk about that. The verse that we read in Hebrews 11:6, it said, without faith, it is unlikely to please God. Is that correct? Without faith, it's unlikely to please God. What do you say? What's the word? Megan, what's the word? Come on, guys. Bible squeeze. Huh? Impossible. Very good. Impossible. It's not unlikely. That means the foundation of your relationship with Jesus must be based on faith. The foundation, the bedrock of the Christian faith is on faith. That's why the subject of faith is such an important story, that something that we must learn. Let me tell you another faith story. In the beginning of this year, I went to a country which I will not name, and also please do not post this picture for security's sake. I met this lovely couple, true blue missionary, Adam, the one wearing the cap, and his wife, Kelly. With five young children, you know, they went into this place. And then they are looking for overland mission. This mission organization only go to places where the gospel has not been preached. So while he arrived there, he met one of the sisters. He said, how about going to this village, which is quite far away, quite remote village. So he said, okay, we'll go. So Adam took his bike and rode, you know, hundreds of kilometers to this village. And this village, the village head was a witch doctor. Witch doctor. He was the top witch doctor of that area. So the first time Adam introduced himself, the first question the witch doctor asked him is, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am a Christian. But surprisingly, the witch doctor said, oh, I heard about the name of Jesus some 50 years ago when he was a child. Now he is about 60 over years old and he has 9 adult children. Yeah, he said, and then what happened? He said, after that, nobody came. No one else came. That's why we need to send missionaries out to this area to preach the gospel, the good news. So after that, surprisingly, I was so surprised to hear that the village head, even though he is a witch doctor, and the villagers, they hate the demons controlling the area. You know, you would have thought that they would, you know, work well with the demons. He said, why? You know, because the demons keep on demanding more and more things from them. The first year, they would demand a chicken as a sacrifice. Second year, a goat. The third year, a cow. But they do not know how to get rid of all this demon spirit. Yeah. So another thing that the demons, you know, demons are very controlling. The other thing that they do not want them to do is that they grow paddy most of the time in this country. But they are not allowed to harvest the whole crop at one time. They can only harvest what they need for that week. If anyone harvests the whole crop, they will fall sick and then they will die. This is the curse that was on them. So everybody was so frightened about these demons that's controlling the area. And then Adam continued on his visit, and as he go more and more often, he get to know the witch doctor and the family better. And some villagers actually gave their life to them. This story was told first of all to Rachel. Rachel, yeah, yeah. I shared it. He said, "You must share this with our congregation. They say, okay, let me wait for an opportunity time. So yeah, this is on honor of Rachel. So what happened now is that 2 weeks before, the witch doctor himself accepted Jesus, he was beaten by a cobra. And in the middle of the night, they called Adam and said, please come, our village head is dying. So he took his bike and went. And when he entered the room, he found that the witch doctor was lying on bed, motionless. His face was dark. His lips have turned purple. He was in the throes of death. So Adam laid hand on him and prayed. Only 15 minutes into the prayer, color returned to his face. Half an hour later, he was able to sit up and relate what happened. That's faith. That's faith. That's what Jesus can do for all of us. And when we hear such story, so often we wish, Lord, give me the kind of faith. All right? So, but God is himself is a God of faith. Hebrews 11:6 is not only unlikely, it's impossible. You have no faith, you are not, it's not possible for you to please God. And that's why we need to learn about faith, right? God loves faith. When his children walk in faith, he is very pleased. In fact, he demands faith from us. He wants faith from us, right? So our relationship, our whole faith, the whole Christian faith, is based on having faith, right? Now, how do we overcome? How do we have overcoming faith? I got good news and bad news for you. Bad news first or good news first? Bad news first, huh? It always starts with the bad news. All right, all of us are sinners, and then Jesus comes and says, save us. That's good news. The bad news is that after today's sermon, no one or none of you will have overcoming faith immediately. Because faith needs to be nurtured. Faith is like a relationship. I have to get to know the person who is faith, who is God, right? So I need to have faith by nurturing. The bad news is that after today's sermon, you have to come back many, many times to hear about faith sermon. I wish that we could have a series of sermon based on faith, because this is so necessary. This is the core teaching of the Bible, right? So what's good news? The good news is that in Romans 12:3, it says every one of us is given a measure of faith. You have faith. All of you see that you have faith. You have faith. This is a seed faith. A seed faith is small, isn't it? All right? But Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you know, you can command this mountain to move and it will move. So how do we grow our faith? First, we have the seed faith. And then what we need to do is to exercise this faith to make it grow bigger and bigger and stronger. All right? There are four foundations that I want us to know in how we can build overcoming faith. Firstly, is this. The object of faith is God himself. Some of us that I must have faith in faith. Faith in faith is not faith. All right? The object of your faith is very, very important. Okay? I am 70 over kilogram. And I need to lose weight. Yeah? I'm 70 over kilometers. Let's say, Megan. Huh? Kilogram. I say kilo again. Kilogram. And I say, Megan, I'm going to fall, all right, from a height. Catch me, okay? What's your weight? What is your weight? 40 only. 吃多点啊,要吃多点. It's 40 kg, I'm 70 over kg. Can I trust Megan to catch me when I fall? Yes or no? No, I will crush a bone and I'll injure myself. That's why faith itself, you know, the object of your faith is as important as what you put your faith in. Who do you put your faith in? All right? So simply believing and hoping for the best is not faith. It's only positive thinking. All right? So what we need to do is that our faith is as strong as the one we put our trust in. So who can we put our trust in? Who can we? All right? We need someone who is willing, someone who is powerful, someone who is faithful, and someone who is able to help us in our faith. When I need help, I can call on him because I know he is faithful, I know he is willing, right? And who is this person? Who is this person that we can put our trust in? They can, you can put your life in with him. Who is this person? Come on, guys, girls. Jesus. Come on, everybody say Jesus. And he must be the object of our faith. Amen? He must be. All right? So the object of biblical faith is that we must trust in Jesus. If you know that Jesus is a giver of faith and that we can trust him, what must you do? We must know him intimately. We must know him intimately. Are you willing? Are you able to say, Lord, my life is in your hand. I surrender myself to you. All right? So unless we know Jesus intimately, we will not have the kind of overcoming faith. All right? So overcoming faith, the object of our faith is not faith itself, it's in Jesus. Right? So when I truly trust Jesus more and more by exercising the seed faith that he has given me, my faith grows stronger and stronger. There was a time then when I'm so afraid. And you know, in one of the conferences I went to, you know, it must be the stupid song said, "Don't send me to Africa." Have you heard of that song? "Don't send me to Africa." So I was afraid that God would send me to Africa, you know. Yeah. So God is testing my faith then. But as I go on learning, trusting him, acting on his word, memorizing his word, meditating on his word, my faith grows. So now, right now, God, if you send me to anywhere, I will go. Because I have built that relationship with Jesus. I know him. I know that he can take care of me. Even if he didn't take care of me, I will see him in heaven. Remember Daniel and the three friends? They were forced to worship the statue of the golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar. He said, "Bow down, you know, and worship him." Did they? They said no. He said, "Even if God do not save us, we will still not bow down to you." That's the kind of faith that we must have. The even if kind of faith. Yeah. So the greatest thing about being a Christian is that you win all the time. You win. Either you win on earth or you win in heaven. Amen. Yeah. So we have to develop an even if kind of faith. Yeah. So don't put your faith in faith because faith in faith has no power. Faith itself is only a channel, right, whereby God works through the power, his power in us. So faith is not faith itself. I don't have faith in faith itself. I have faith in the object of faith, which is Jesus Christ. And when I have faith, the power of God flows through me. Amen? That's why Hebrews 12:2 said, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." The reason why some of you don't have faith is because your eyes are on everything else and not on Jesus. But when you fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, your faith will definitely grow. Yeah? Yeah? The word "fix our eyes" literally means looking away from everything else but only at Jesus. So those of you who are struggling with your health right now, do not look at your own circumstances. Do not look at your emotions because it goes ups and down. But fix your eyes on Jesus. Listen to him, what he says about your condition or your circumstances. All right? Fixing your eyes on Jesus. That's how we grow our faith. Peter was walking on water, right? When Peter saw Jesus walking on water, he wanted to walk on water as well. And Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Come. All right. So his gaze was fixed on Jesus and he walked on water. He was able to walk on water. All right. Don't despise Peter because he denied the Lord three times. But none of his disciples, nobody up to today, I think, have ever walked on water like Peter did. Peter did. Why? Because his eyes were fixed on Jesus. But the moment he looks at the sea, look at the wind and the storm, what happened to him? He began to sink. So fixing your eyes on Jesus is the secret to building great faith. Yeah. Now the word "know" here right? Fix your eyes on Jesus. The word "know" here, in where did the word "know" come from? Yeah, it's the Hebrew word yada. Everybody say yada. What is yada? Yada is a personal and intimate relationship with God. It implies a loyalty, a love, and personal experience, right? Just like Elder Gary, yada, Jesse, right? Ivan, yada, Catherine, right? Yada.
Jessica.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Jessica, sorry. So that's yada, an intimate personal relationship that's based on loyalty, based on love, and based on personal experience. So all of us must yada God. Do you yada God? Do you know your God? Right? What happens if we know our God? Okay? If we know our God, if we yada God, Daniel 11:32 say, shall we read this together? 1, 2, 3. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploit. You know, all of you, all of us may be a bit frightened and say, oh, I don't have faith. My faith is too small. But if you yada your God, the scripture promised that you will be able to do great exploits for God. All of us can. Tell your neighbor, you can. You can. More convincingly, lah. You can. All of you can. Yeah, you can yada God, and you can do great exploits for God. We need the second generation. We need this generation of people to rise up so that they can bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Amen? You can do it. Right? So the word "know" is yada. I've gone through this. Right? Just like Adam knew Eve. Yeah? So this intimate of knowledge of God will empower his people to do great exploit. Amen? So that's what we need. Right? So yada, also, the other aspect of yada is not only knowing God intimately and personally, it's also seeing things from God's perspective. Right? Seeing and agreeing with what Jesus say, seeing, feeling, having the same kind of feeling as Jesus have, and aligning our hearts to his purpose. That's what yada also means. Right? So when we look at earthly perspective, when you're faced with challenges, when you have trials in your life, if you are looking only on from the earthly perspective, what will happen is that you will blame God. You say, God, why so unfair? Why me? All right? You will look at every trial as a setback, as a difficulty. But when you look at things from God's perspective, he say, I'm using this trial to shape you, to form your character, and to draw you closer to me. That's a heavenly perspective. So whenever you are faced with trials and difficulty in life, don't blame God. Don't look at your circumstances. Look to the Word of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus and say, Lord, I commit myself into your loving hand. I will not look at things from my perspective, my emotions, my circumstances, but I look at things from your perspective. What are you saying about my circumstances? Do you know what God said about you? God says, you are the apple of his eyes. God said, you are precious to me. Right? God said, you know, under the loving arms of God, he will carry you. That's what God said about you. And God said, then, you know, you can have what you have according to the Bible. You are what you are, and you have authority. You have authority. So you need to yada God, seeing things from his perspective, feels as he feels, sees as he sees, and aligning our heart purpose to his. All right? So that's the reason why we do not. Now, the reason why we are physical being as well as spiritual being. Okay? Now, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they lost their perspective, their heavenly perspective. They become very earthly. They look at everything according to their circumstances. And they look at everything according to their feelings. Right? Our feelings is never stable. So we need to look at things according to the perspective of God. and not the earthly perspective. Yeah, and that's the thing, right? So does that mean that God is very selfish? Yeah? Why only your will to be done? I want my will to be done as well. The Bible said the will of God is perfect and good, the good and perfect will of God. Now, when we walk according to the will of God, what happens is that God's will prosper the whole of his creation, and it will bring about the best result for you. Right? So it's good. God's will is good. I want to follow God's will, right? Because when I follow, not only does it fulfill my spiritual destiny, it also brings joy to me. Because his will is good and perfect. Yeah? And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. This is a mind-blowing statement. Surely, are you sure that I have the mind of Christ? You can have the mind of Christ when you align your perspective to that of Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. Do you believe that? Yeah, that means I can think like Jesus. I can see things like Jesus. I can feel like Jesus. I can love people like Jesus does. The mind of Christ. Wow. What an amazing statement, yeah? Yeah. So having the mind of Christ means living life from God's perspective, being instructed by the Holy Spirit. The first thing that happened to you when you believe in Jesus Christ is that he gave you his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is supposed to lead you and teach you, yeah? And we are able to have the mind of Christ as long as you follow and obey the Spirit of God living in you, right? So it provides spiritual clarity. When I align myself to the heavenly perspective, it makes things very clear. I know who I am. I know what authority I have. I know I can have whatever God said I can have according to the Bible. It gives me clarity. I know that circumstances, I know that challenges in life, I know that trials are not here to harm me. I know that it is God training me, shaping me, preparing me to be stronger as a Christian, to grow my faith and to draw closer to him. That's what faith is about. Yeah. So Colossians 3:1-2 says, set your minds on things above. That's why. Right? When you set your mind on things above, when you set your mind according to the perspective of God, you know, everything changes. When I set my mind on God, you know what happened? The power of God is open to me. I'm directly connected to God. Right? And everything changes. Everything changes. So fix your eyes on Jesus and set your mind on things above because we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Believe or not? We have to train ourselves. We have to look at ourselves not from the physical realm. Do you know that how to win the devil in our fight? Whenever you fight your battle on the physical realm, you 100% lose. But when you set your mind and when you see yourself seated at the right-hand side of God, and that's how we fight our battles, all right? And every time we fight the battles from the heavenly perspective, we will win 100%. Yeah? It's not by might, not by power, all right? But by the Holy Spirit that we win our battle. Okay, so the first foundation of building overcoming faith is to know that the object of faith is God. The object of faith is Jesus Christ. That's why we must know him, yada him. Secondly, the second foundation of overcoming faith or having overcoming faith is to know that the origin of faith is the Word of God. How do you have faith? How do you have faith? Romans 10, 17, they said, you know, faith cometh by hearing. Only one time? No. Faith comes from hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Until from a head knowledge, it comes down to my heart knowledge until it becomes faith knowledge. All right? That's what the Word of God is, the power of the Word of God. All right? So we need to memorize the Word. We need to meditate upon it. We need to act on it. And then you'll find that your faith will continue to grow daily. Right? So the way to have overcoming faith is to have the word near your mouth and in your heart. Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's not very far from you. You don't even have to manufacture your own faith word. All you need to do is listen to the word of God, obey it, and speak back to him. It is your mouth and in your heart. That's a message concerning faith that we proclaim. Remember Jesus, while he was led in the wilderness for 40 days, that's to be tested by the devil. What did he say? When the devil tempted him, turn this stone into bread. All right, three times he was tested, and three times he did not use stick or arrow or anything to defeat the devil. What did he say? What did he say? Even Jesus himself used the word of God. He said, it is written. It is written. Three times temptation, three times the devil was defeated by the word of God. It is written. The question then is, do you know what is written in the word of God? You can't defeat the devil in the last minute. Oh, let me look at my Bible. Wait. Mr. Devil, wait a while. No, it's too late. You'll be dead by then. That's why you need the word of God. You need to read your Bible. That's why we have the BRP, Bible Reading Program. How many of you are still following the program faithfully? Yeah, good. Just a couple of you. The rest who are not, I exhort you to, because the word of God is really, it's life. The word of God is able to defeat the enemy. Yeah. Okay? So there are many facets about the God's word. What is God's word actually? God's word is in Greek is called logos. Logos means the word that reveals God's heart, reveal his will, and reveal his character. Alright? And the word of God is also known as the mirror. As you read the Bible is also reading you. Sometimes it's scary, right? You know, oftentimes when I do something wrong, God will be so faithful in bringing out words from the Bible and say, you are wrong there. Repent. Start again. Yeah, so the word of God is a mirror. Right? When you come to church and you see that there is a dirt in your face, what do? You wipe it away, right? So when the word of God is like a mirror, it looks at you and it tells you things that are right, things that are wrong. Yeah. So it's also like a fire and hammer. You know how stubborn we are, how slow and how stiff-necked we are in obeying God. We are stiff-necked people, very hard. So God needs his word as a hammer and a fire to refine us and to smash our stubbornness. We need that. The word of God can do that. Yeah. And fourthly, it's a lamp and a light guiding us, giving us wisdom. All right. Some of you, like Elder Gary was saying, is in the midst of making decisions. You do not know what to do. Seek the word of God. See what he said. Pray. Yeah. And then he will lead you. Fifthly, it's bread and food. It nourishes our soul. You know, the word of God is so rich. It's so beautiful, yeah. And every time, sometimes when I preach a sermon, you know, the congregants would say, oh, well done, good job. You say, it's not me. It's the word of God. The word of God is always good. It's always nourishes. It always blesses, okay? And then the truth reveals reality, delivers from lies and deception. And lastly, the word of God is a sword. The sword of the Spirit. It pierces the heart, exposes sin, and equips believer to defeat the devil. I can never stress enough about the importance of God's word. Young people, I hope that you will really do not spend too much time on social media or playing handphone games. Spend at least half an hour reading the word, memorizing it, write it down, right? And memorize, because you have need of it when the enemy attacks. Okay, let's read this sort of sum up what the Word of God does. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has an assignment for you. God has a plan for you. He wants to equip you. And the way to equip you is to fix your eyes on Jesus and also to know the Word of God well and obey it. Thirdly, the objective of faith is the will of God. Why do you think God gave you faith? So that I can score 100 marks in my exam, so can ace my exam, so can I can have a good job, a good paying job, buy a good house, luxurious house, a good car, you know, for me to. No. Why God give you faith is that His will may be done. That's why when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He did not say anything else. He said, the Lord's Prayer, He said, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The faith is given to you to do His will. The Bible is not about you. The problem with mankind is that we are so self-centered. We are not God-centered, right? So it's a good reminder that the Bible is not about you. It's about the glory of God. So why the Lord give you faith is that so that His will may be done, right? Yeah, He's not narcissistic, and He's not self-absorbed. The reason why when we do His will is that He will direct us towards the flourishing of all human creation, bringing glory to Himself and bringing ultimate good to us. Amen. All right? So, firstly, let's read this together. I want you to remember this, yeah? The foundation of growing, overcoming faith. Firstly, let's read. The object of faith is Jesus Christ. So you have to know Him intimately. Secondly, the origin of faith is in God's Word. So we need to hear Him in order to know what He is saying to us. Thirdly, the objective of faith is in doing the will of God. It's not about you. It's about surrendering our will to His will. And fourthly, the operation of faith is the work of God. When we step up to Block 19, when we go to Ira, when we go to Tolio, when we're going to Indonesia, you are not going alone. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is within you. He will go with you. So we are just co-worker with the Holy Spirit, right? And the Spirit of God is strong, and the Spirit of God is wise, and the Spirit of God strengthens us, right? There's something wrong with the screen, isn't it? Okay. So biblical faith is not only believe. Biblical faith is active, it's operational, it's God working through you. God working through you. All right. When we act in faith, we are working alongside with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So what's there to fear? That's why in Acts 4, when Peter and John were released from prison, you know, they went back to their own people and they began to pray. What did they pray? What prayer did they pray? Did they pray, "Oh God, you know, take this persecution away from us. Oh God, bring us to a safer place where there's no persecution." Did they pray like that? No. Right? They prayed for boldness to preach the word. They prayed for signs and wonders and healing to be manifested through their ministry so that people can be blessed. Boldness, because the Spirit living is you in you, it's not a spirit of fear, it's a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. Wow, thank you, Holy Spirit. Right? But we must exercise our faith, you know. Yeah. So our obedience will always glorify God. Our disobedience will quench the Holy Spirit. Many times we bring the Holy Spirit to work with us only on Sundays, and the rest of the week we lock him in the storeroom. No, the Spirit of God wants to glorify God, magnify God. So allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. Go forth in boldness. Share the gospel boldly. All right, to your colleagues, to your classmate, to whoever you meet. All right, go and make disciples. The word "go" there is going wherever you go. Make disciples. Yeah, of all nations. Yeah. So the process of faith, this is how we build our faith. The objective of faith is Jesus Christ. The more we yada Him, the more we know Him, the more our faith grow. All right? Secondly, the origin of faith is the Word of God. Mountain-moving faith is possible when we take God's Word seriously. We practice by memorizing it, meditating upon it and act upon it. I challenge you, when you act on the Word of God, you'll never be the same again. Immediately you are connected with God. Immediately the power of God flows through you. Immediately the resources of heaven is open to you. Act on the Word, right? Thirdly, the objective of faith is the will of God. Our faith advances with every obedience. Some of us are stuck in the same faith. The faith that you have 2 years ago, 3 years ago, remain the same. Why? Because we refuse to act on the Word of God. Yeah? So when you get stuck in where we are when we refuse to act on our faith that God has given us. Yeah? And fourthly, the operation of faith is the work of God. All right? God wants His work to be done through the Holy Spirit in us. Many times when we hear a prompting from God, we refuse to, or we hesitate to respond. Why? Why do you hesitate when you hear a prompting from God? You know it's from God, but you hold back. Why? You know why? Because there's someone who is in competition with God. Someone you love more than God. 这个人是谁? Who is this person? Oftentimes it's myself. When I don't act on the work of God, when I hesitate, it's because I love myself. I love my will to be done more than God's will. Yeah. So whenever you hear, never let the prompting of God to slip you by. You say, Lord, I hear you. Lord, I will act now. I tell you, the blessing will be good. Yeah. So this is the foundation of our faith. Yeah. Okay. So before we go to offering time, let me go through these 4 points. All right. If you forget everything, just remember these 4 points. Firstly, the object of faith is not faith itself. It is Jesus Christ. So what do? You must know Him intimately. Secondly, the origin of faith. It's not my own imagination. Right? It's not the wisdom of the world. The origin of faith is the... it's the Word of God. So we must obey Him. Yeah. Thirdly, the objective of faith is the will of God. Right? The reason why I do good, I obey God is that it is His will to be done. His will to be done. His will, that's the reason why we are building churches in Indonesia, in Iraq, in Japan. Right? Why? Because God's will is that go and make disciples of all nations. And that's the reason why we go. It's not about me. It's about the glory of God. It's about the gospel. Yeah? And fourthly, the operation of faith is the work of God. Step out in faith. Step out in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that when I act in faith, it's not only me alone working in faith, but God working through me, through the Holy Spirit that is in me. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. Amen. I hope you have a clearer understanding of how faith works and how we can grow overcoming faith. All right? Seek God, seek His face, right? If you receive a bad report from the doctor, go to the healer, right? Who said, by your stripes, I'm healed. Who said, He sent forth His work and healed all our disease. And then grab on the word and pray over it. Lord, your word promised this. I will not let go. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for your wonderful work that you've done for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. We thank you for your word of God that guides us, leads us, hammer us, oh God Jesus, into obedience. We thank you, oh God, for the Holy Spirit that when we act, we know that we are not alone, that your Spirit is working through us. So grant us courage, grant us faith, oh God Jesus, as we listen to you, may we all also obey promptly to what you are telling us, so that, Lord, all glory may be given to Jesus. And as we do so, we will fulfill our spiritual destiny as well. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, and God's people say, Amen. Amen. Praise God.